So, does anyone want to ask a question? I'll try to be sensible for the whole time. Anything they want to share, struggling with?
Oh, come
Yeah.
on. Come on.
I'll come to you next, Caroline. Yep. So, Maggie, don't fall over the wire.
Just want to show the pure quality of the UK students. I don't know why I've come up, to be honest. I just know that this morning, I'm still on that roller coaster I talked about in the statement process thing I did last night. And the roller coaster is the ups and downs seem to be more frequent, but not as horrendous. You know, I'm not waking up. I didn't wake up in the night. Well, I did and then fell straight back to sleep. I'm not laying there in this complete angst or anything. That's lessened very much. I was just like to, I don't know what's going on. When you saw me earlier, I was in tears over nothing again. And it just hits me. And I was actually crying in your bathroom. I don't know why. And just feels... so up and down with emotions, and I'm getting to the bottom of what it's about. It's about wanting to be consistent in my looking, and I know that we've talked about that, and I know it's about that. I just wonder whether you could help any further with it, really.
Well, it always comes down to what thoughts are getting in the way of what you want.
Yeah.
So to keep it in its simplicity, why can't you have what you want right now? What do you want, actually?
I just want to be able to recognise it in every moment. I want to be able to be, you know, I've heard you say that there's no difference. And I know we've had this conversation quite a bit recently. There's no difference in anything. And I want to be able to...
Meaning the same joy and peace is felt all the time, no matter what the body's doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to be able to recognise that. And I know that the ups and downs, I feel like the ups and downs or the downs are coming to show me that, oh, there's still that area to look at. But they come on so quickly. And that means a situation where all of a sudden I was absolutely fine and I'm just something, I don't even know what triggered it.
So why can't you have what you want?
In that moment, there's a belief in that it feels different, and it does feel different because it kind of stings.
So why can't you have what you want? Oh, you're gonna wish you never sat in that chair.
I don't know why I got it. Well, I don't mean that. Sorry, I don't mean that how it sounds. It's the belief in that it's always going to be hard work.
Yeah. So why can't you have what you want? Why is this thought any harder to overcome than any of the others?
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say because it's been shown to me again and again, but it's been shown to me again and again because I believe in the thought.
So why can't you have what you want? Why can't you, if you are the self? Why can't you have what you want? Why should it be any more difficult in any particular moment to feel how you want to feel? Or let me say it a different way. Is there anything that the body can do or the mind can do, wherever the body finds itself, that's going to make it any more difficult for you to have your attention on what, on the noumenon itself?
It feels that way.
It feels that way, but is that true? So there might be a belief that when the body's in this place or when it's talking to that person or doing this thing, it's harder for me to keep my attention on what is real and permanent about me. And can that be true?
I know the answer's no, but it doesn't feel, I'm just going to be honest. Because now, in this, when emotions coming up again, you know, it's about not pushing it away.
What is it that chooses where attention goes? Your attention's on yourself, you'll feel really happy. Your attention's on a thought, you'll feel terrible. And there's nowhere in between for you now. So, from my perspective, there is just a little more confirmation needed that you are already looking from the self at the body and mind.
Totally agree with that.
Because if something's going on in the body and mind, some strong emotions, some thoughts, whatever's going on in it, it's in pain or it's, that will seem to get in the way of your seeing. But if the body's something that's happening inside you, can it ever, not there's anything wrong with the body, but can it ever distract you or get in the way? Can a thought that's happening inside the body stop you from being yourself? There's an idea here. Something phenomenal can get in the way of the noumenon.
In the moment of something coming up, in the moment when, like it was earlier, where this something, an emotions came, there has to be, and maybe this is the crux of it, there has to be a conscious effort to look at it.
Is that emotion happening to you or inside you in that moment? What does it feel like?
I would say a mixture, but in the rawest moment to me.
And there's the issue where the identity is still that I'm looking from the body mind at the noumenon, and this thing in front of me in the way, this big emotion or something.
It feels like, and this is quite hard, it feels like I've slipped back, because that was so easy for a long time.
And, you know, maybe that is only then about consistency, which you've been feeling the pull to.
Yeah.
It happens to all of us. We get some level of clearer seeing. We begin to feel really peaceful, joyful, and then we take our foot off the gas. And eventually you kind of come to a place where you commit to a constant vigilance for the rest of your life because it feels so nice.
And that's what I'm trying to establish.
If I were you, I'd go right back to lesson three.
Yeah.
And really go at it. Not in terms of hard work.
Yeah.
But really, what does it mean if I'm looking from that place already?
Yeah.
If nothing that happens to the body or mind has got anything to do with me, it's just happening inside. Not we don't care for them and love them. But if something's happening in the other corner of the room, does it affect you here?
That came up in contemplation my last night, that I didn't sleep and I was contemplating. It was very peaceful. And I was kind of, accessing the noumenon. I can't remember how I was doing it. To be honest, it was very simple, but there was very much a sense of me going into that. And I thought, oh, hang on a minute. Yeah. That's not it.
The sky isn't affected at all by the clouds.
Yeah.
If the sky thought it was a cloud, it'd be very different, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I am working through it. I am pushing through it.
Don't see it as going backwards. See it as I'm that much closer to the constant. When I say constant vigilance, I don't mean I've always got to be working hard.
No.
It's just that I'm really going to enjoy reminding myself where I'm looking from.
Yeah.
Because firstly, I'm climbing away from the ability to get caught back ever again. There is a final point where you won't get caught.
Yeah.
But the vigilance will be constant then anyway, because you'll be enjoying it so much.
Yeah. It is. Oh, God, I hate saying this. It is helping.
I'm going to say it online.
The shit is helping because it comes up.
It's not going on YouTube, don't worry.
But that's what the other reason I said it. It is helping me to push and push and push. I am not enjoying it, got to say.
I just want to say that where you are right now, I have been right there. And it was only this that got me to the constant vigilance.
And that's what's keeping me going. I know that this is helping me to be constantly vigilant.
That the moment the vigilance becomes, or remembering where you're looking from, and we're going to look at this in GP in January. I'm going to really dive into lesson three, but the moment that vigilance becomes more important than oxygen,
yeah,
you're home free.
Yeah.
Because you'll never forget it.
Yeah. I also think what you said, it's not about working hard. I don't have to remember in every moment that I'm enjoying to look at it. I just need to remember, you know, a lot.
Where am I looking from? Or for me, where am I? The question just immediately took me out of what was happening to the body and mind. Like, because if I'm in a location, then everything that's happening to the body yeah. is happening to me.
Yeah.
And you've got to climb back out of that again. You go down into this very low vibration. And it takes forever, months sometimes, to climb right back out again.
I'm sorry, I just started laughing because I remembered you got your hat on.
I keep seeing the flashing on the wall, like thinking I'm having some kind of aneurysm or something.
Yeah, no, it really helped actually, because I don't put myself forward and say this is going on. I talk to you, or I've been working on a lot on this. I can guarantee
every single person on this Zoom call has been through or going through it right now. Yeah,
I have been pushing myself. I just sat there and thought, oh God, no one's put their hands up.
Of course. Of course we take our foot off the gas when it starts to go really well. Of course we do.
Yeah.
Of course we do.
Yeah.
And then it's just had a little more nudge to kind of get that as a habit then.
Yeah.
That's all, yeah. Isn't it?
Thank you so much. Thanks, everyone.
Lovely. Caroline?
I might get a bit upset. Okay. Yesterday was a very, I don't know how to put it in words. It was just the most amazing session for me. And I set off quite happy, jolly, as I normally am. And then that interaction you had with Angie, and you were talking about how the ego will not, it doesn't forgive as such. I'm paraphrasing, Helen.
Yeah.
I got it on a deep level, but again, I'm not very eloquent. But
I wouldn't necessarily agree with that, but anyway.
Well, I feel like it, because from here it feels very
different. You always say that to me. Every time you talk to me, you tell me you're no good at talking about it, and I don't really want you to say that anymore, because it's not true.
All right, I'm brilliant at talking about it, so I'm about to do it. the ego, you talked about forgiveness, and something, it was just an enormous release. Like, there was this such a big release that I was like, I am now. And it went on for hours. I couldn't join the 5 o'clock session. I didn't have a clue what it were all about, but I just was so emotional all day, all night. So now, but I just thought it was genius, because I think a bit like Maggie, there's something there where I'm like, I'm looking from a very spacious place. It's all joy, but something is angst. There's something, and I think it's mind activity about things don't look the reflection. Sometimes it's joyful and peaceful, but all the bad stuff that's always happened is not. It's not sorted somehow. I'm still in the same situation, and you said something about your ego will still, and it, I don't know, your ego will.
You talk, what do you mean by yourself? The bad stuff? Are you talking about things in your environment, your experience, the reflection?
Yeah, well, I'm estranged from my children, which you know about, and my grandchildren, and that's still ongoing. And it's not, you know, I put out a desire that would change. And then I started digging into that desire and thought, it's not about that. It's about peace. It's about joy. And with that came just a lot of peace and joy. But there's this, I don't know, there was something you said about forgiveness, and you talked about people that had hurt you. And then there was something happened in me, and there was just this enormous release of emotion that happened between you and Angie. And I just was so grateful. Like, I just think you're a genius. I was just like, God, that's got to be a best session, yeah? My mind doesn't understand it, but something else does. It was just an enormous emotional release.
We spend so much energy and time trying to get our ego to be the self. And technically is the self. It's all arising out of the self. But we try to get something that can only work in duality to be functional in non-duality, to have the same capacity as the self. And when we finally get that, that's never going to happen. And it's usually around some kind of forgiveness, isn't it? Some deep core hurts or something. And we stop listening to mind when it says, you know, that's just bypassing this. You need to really forgive this person. And because we value love and truth and compassion and wisdom, we really listen to the mind when it says you still haven't forgiven this person, or, you know, they need to forgive you, or whatever it is. Eventually, it just becomes clear that no amount of effort is ever going to make that happen. It's like asking a toaster to drive a car. It's just not possible, is it? Through no fault of the toaster, you know, ego is a functionality. It sees the world in multiplicity, and it's got no capacity to see anything else. The amount of relief when we finally stop pushing, because can you imagine? Well, you felt it, but when you finally stop pushing half of yourself away, the ego, or desperately saying with everything that you are, this is not how it should be. This ego is not how it should be. It should be different.
Yeah.
It hurts so much. We've just been doing it for so long, so long.
And I thought, young. I love that. I thought I got that. But then yesterday there was just this. It really sank in. And then there was just a massive release. And I haven't spent any time thinking about it or any of that. Just whatever's happened, the mind's gone quiet. And on a deeper level, something, it's resonated.
How would, you know, we all think we're living from the self in all areas, but how would the self be with the ego? Would it be trying to change it at all? At all? Has it ever? Is it capable of? You know, when that finally kind of hits home, there's just this massive battle that's over, and nobody wins the battle. It just stops. You stop fighting, and it's really ego trying to tear itself apart and change itself, isn't it?
Yeah. I didn't know that until yesterday, and I was very grateful to Angie. I texted to say thank you. You know.
It's got me stuck for a long time. And that's why I'm always talking about love for the ego, because I honestly expected it to be able to forgive everyone, or I thought that I should be able to forgive everyone as a self. And it's one of the biggest spiritual myths that causes so much pain, so much pain. There's nobody to forgive
from self.
And the ego isn't capable of forgiving.
I mean, I can forgive anything. I always, all my life, I've been able to forgive. But the struggle was in other people not forgiving. You know, I've had some choices to make that haven't gone down well, but were for the best intention. It's a big, long story. But, you know, it's about the lack of love on the other side. It's the lack of love there and the lack of forgiveness. And it just feels like I'm living such a great life. And then this little bit's just not.
What if this never resolves in your life?
I don't think it will, Helen.
Yeah, I'm not saying it will or won't, but looking spiritually from that perspective, what if it never resolves? Do you have to still feel disturbed because of that? And
no, and that's what released you. Said it just went, just all
things. Course in Miracles says the only thing to forgive is the idea that there's anything to forgive.
Yeah.
And that really hits home after a while that, if I've had it all wrong, then I've really had it all wrong here. Nothing has happened to anyone ever.
Yeah.
But ego will never understand that, and it's okay.
And that's what I wanted to say. It was just life-changing for me yesterday.
Good.
I think you're a genius. I can't tell you. I'm crying out of sadness. I'm just crying with, I think it's relief and gratitude. It'll
be a massive relief, massive relief.
I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. for having found you. You know, it was Phil that found you. I was texting him last night as well. You know, I was so grateful to you, Helen, that I sat last night and thought, what can I do to be so grateful to you? I thought, I'll buy a big hamper from Hotel Chocolat. That didn't even do it. I'm thinking, what else is there? I don't
these
know.
These tears.
I don't know how to be grateful. And I want you to let that hit you because it's been life-changing. I don't think I could have coped, you know, and I feel joyful and peaceful most of the time. I just think you've changed.
I appreciate everything you said, but I also want you to recognize how it must make me feel when somebody breaks through a belief that has held them back for so long. You know, this idea that we all have that only the teacher can do it or something, or, you know, only one in 100,000 or whatever the myth is that we've been experiencing. So when I see someone break through that too, that's like any belief, of course, not just, you know, this one is a biggie, isn't it? You know, but yeah, I don't think there's not a dry eye in the house here at the moment.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you to everybody. It's not, I was going to say it's not just Jim. I didn't mean that. I mean, it's everybody as well. It's the Sanghas. Yeah. It's the whole community that has really helped me.
So I was listening yesterday on the GP. Of course, I was listening because I was there. But how we were saying last night after we finished here, we had the Chinese takeaway, and Maggie Ian and Claire and I were talking about how many times the word family came up yesterday. During the GP session, it was quite an amazing thing, and that's the biggest thanks anyone can give me, because that's what I'm literally beginning to live some of my biggest dreams that I was conscious imagining 2 or 3 years ago. It's very much starting to happen, so deeply appreciate that, and
thank you to everybody.
Thank you, lovely. Thank you. Wow. Okay, Savitur was Arvidea, one or the other. Your hand just disappeared. Are you still? Yeah.
Yeah.
Put my hand up again, did I? I just wanted to say since I've been applying the what I called the red, the release, the allowing and discarding. And the desire for, you know, spring forth a desire for more joy, more love, more peace. And what's been happening is a part of me feels, have I lost my mind? Because things will go, there might be there's an awareness and there might be some stuff going on, thoughts or stories, I don't really know. And all of a sudden, then I'm here and I have no recollection of anything, if there was thoughts happening.
It's very two very different worlds, isn't it? One is timeless and... this morning I got a message on WhatsApp and I read it. I thought I'll reply to it later. And then somebody else messaged about 20 minutes later. But it felt like an hour since I read that previous message. I had actually no idea of how long it had been. It's only when I looked at the timestamp on it. Mm. And you find maybe that kind of thing happening more and more, that you're in this different place, so to speak, where you can't even remember what you were upset about 5 minutes ago. It's just completely different, you know.
Yeah, and if anything's happened as well, even events, and just feels so dreamlike. Like I can't actually say anything actually happened. And I know, you know, say if there is a strong to a thought that I can give attention to, then you know, there's just a seeing then of, you know, who's that happening to? You know, and there's just this space of like, it's just no person, no one, just spaciousness. So, you know, then that falls away and I'm just here. And that didn't even happen. So living this, but I really just love the looking, you know, anything is just this, is looking, and not consciously I've got to look to find. It's just a seeing, I guess, that there, yeah, I don't know, I can't put it into words.
You're doing a good job.
Yeah, I can put it into words.
Yeah. Can you see how everyone puts themselves down? And I'm talking to myself here as well. I'm listening to myself.
But. Yeah, right now. Is that true? Yeah. So I just want to say thank you, because I know that when everything really come up, you know, even that doesn't even seem true, but there is a slight memory of, you know, a lot of stuff that you know about come up and then just falling away with this constant being here and not believing anything. And I mean really, really discarding everything. I mean everything, absolutely no thought, even like that one. Can't stay, can't be believed in.
Yeah, and you'll find that you end up just leaving a whole lot of stuff unresolved from the ego, because there's no way to resolve it, and you're just gonna, and I'm really done with trying to fix that. Mm-hmm. You know, can't really fix it, and more I'm just hanging out here. And the more you do that, the more the kind of life force concentrates in the body, builds up, and the harder it is for you to believe any thought at all. Then it gets harder and harder to believe anything. You know, and some of them just fall away, most of them just fall away without you doing any, even looking at it. It just drops.
That's actually true, because that is exactly what's happening. Is I can't believe it. It's just seen, and does it all falls away, and I'm just here. I just want to say thank you. Really appreciate it.
Again, to see you both of you there, you know, deepening in your peace and joy, that's the best present you could give me, definitely. You know, to see this belief starting to disappear from the planet that only a few people wake up in each generation, you know, and you're part of that, aren't you? Everyone is, but of course, you know, that does so much for me. I can't even begin to put that into words. So thank you also. Definitely.
Just something before you go. I was with my daughter the other day and she was driving, we're driving somewhere. And she said to me, she says, "Dad, really, I really like Helen." And she doesn't even, I said, "Oh, why do you say that?" She says, "Because I've really seen a big change in you. You're very peaceful, allowing." And she really recognized the peace and how much I've changed. So thank you, Helen.
Thank you.
So it's rebounded back to my daughter as well.
Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that by helping yourself, you're helping everyone around you? And it's pretty mind blowing that, you know, and it's obvious that you're imbibing it deeply. If it's been noticed by, well, obviously Vidae will notice it, but you know, those around you that aren't technically on the pathway, you know, they can see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
How wonderful that you're giving her more peace and she's been able to spend more time in that presence too. Mm-hmm. thank you for sharing that, appreciate it. I get choked up, right? There's no really words I can say that are gonna do it, but thank you.
thank
we'll just
you
go with thank you. Yeah.
Direct and simplest. Thank you.
Okay, Gaina. We'll take Gaina and Claire, and then we'll take a quick 5-minute break because we need a cup of tea and stuff.
Hi.
Hi, Gaina.
Hello. There's been some lovely sharing going on today, some questions. So I just wanted to say that's pretty amazing, really. And well, this isn't really where I put my hand up, but I'm just saying it as well.
Oh, that's totally okay.
I've lost you. Where are you?
Somewhere.
I've got your own gallery. But yeah, so it's been it's lovely to hear everybody sharing today. And I kind of used to sit and do a lot of kind of judging as well. I used to judge myself quite a lot when people were, you know, had epiphanies or realizations, or would talk about where they are, and there was used to be like a longing for that, and that's still going on, but I'm sat here today and it's kind of getting, I'm just getting less involved with that, which is quite
that might always go on, right? That might always go on, and it's like, do you have to stop it, or can you just go, that's just what ego does? It will immediately go into comparison mode when somebody has an epiphany. I haven't had that. Or when somebody's struggling, I've surpassed that, you know, I transcended that ages ago, you know, that's just what it'll do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I guess one of the reasons I put my hand up is because lately I've been, something that kind of struck me from one of the GP lessons a few months back was I've just kind of been reminding myself, I used to get really hung up on contemplation. And lately I've kind of been, not saying this very well, but working on is,
there you go again, see, that's the third person today. Sorry, I have to call you out on that one.
Very well. But
everyone's gonna be like hyper, like I'm not gonna say anything now, right?
Looking for like the positive in things, you know, like, because obviously you realize it's a reflecting, you know, showing you know what the, you know, the ego, this mind body is working through, and that's reflecting back in what you see kind of out there in your immediate, you know, life so to speak. But kind of been stepping away from that and thinking, okay, well, that's happening, that's just what's going on, and looking for like the positive, you know, like the little, well, reminding myself of the good things, you know, the little things, you know, where you'd be able to react, you know, react a little bit quick, bit more, you know, not kind of dwell on things as much, or see, you know, you might have reacted things a little bit different to the things a little bit differently. So I've kind of been doing that. And but the thing that I'm kind of quite overwhelming is that even though I'm trying to take a step back, is just this whole, I still get overwhelmed with the thoughts that go on every single day about Alora. And it just, I still kind of, I realise what, you know, that it's all part of a reflection, and what's happening, and like, you know, that could be one of the reasons anyway. And, you know, these thoughts are going to be going on regardless, the, you know, the worry, the fear, the, you know, for her and her life. And and it just breaks my heart, like when I see her compared to other babies.
Take your time.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. This is a safe place for you to let this out, and we all love you.
And there's still that comparison going on.
Yeah.
And that longing for her to do with it. Well, because, like, she can see that she wants to do things. You, like, pick things up and things like that, but she can't do it. And she can't sit up properly yet. But she like tries.
Yeah.
You know. And I think it's that. I just get a bit overwhelmed by it still, I think. So I'm kind of just asking for a little bit more help in that area.
And of course, this would be the one place where it's hard to put these thoughts down, isn't it? Because you're her mother and you want what's best for her, and you've been through so much already, you know, since, well, even before conception, the whole thing, right? The whole thing has been a very roller coaster, hasn't it? And of course, this would be an area where it doesn't feel as easy to just go, well, those are just thoughts, you know, and they're not true type of thing, you know. Every single parent that has ever attempted to wake up fully would also probably say this was also the hardest area, myself included, you know, in terms of being a parent, you know. So let's start from there. Of course you're still having a challenge here. Of course you are. I'd be amazed if you weren't. You know, if you're like, oh, you know, it's just thoughts. It's, you know, she'll do what she does when she's ready. And, you know,
yeah,
I'd be like, are you really just kind of bypassing here, or are you really looking at this, you know? So starting to understand why this is more challenging at an area than anywhere else is half of the battle, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah.
Because the reason that you're getting so upset is because you feel you should just be able to let go here.
Well, yeah, probably, yeah.
What if you just can't let go here right now?
Mm. Yeah.
Something inside ego feels that it still needs to keep doing what it does in this area. That it's not a good idea to let go of the comparison. You know, it does the comparison where it thinks you should be in your awakening and where it thinks you actually are, where it thinks you are compared to where that person who's just had an epiphany, you know, and all of that. And it'll do it with everyone else, where it thinks Alora is compared to where it thinks she should be. And then, of course, you've got all the professionals saying she should be doing this by this age and she's not, you know, and all of that stuff. So,
yeah,
all these external voices of ego reflecting back at you in that way too. Okay. But can you turn the table on that? What is she doing already that they never said she'd be able to do?
Yeah.
Like breathing, you know, that small thing.
There's lots when I think of it. She smiles, she interacts with her environment. She, you know, she can roll over now, which she couldn't do. She can pick things up, but she's just not very... You know, she can't pick up small things. She can't, you know.
Maybe she's here to kind of break, because one of the things that I wish I could have done differently as a parent is just not listening to the officials. I tormented myself endlessly, but she's not walking yet. She should be walking on average, and she's a little bit underweight or she's a little bit overweight. And, you know, and my son was really quite delayed in his talking. And, you know, I'm sure many parents could have similar where they worried themselves silly listening to what should be happening at this point, what the usual 50th percentile is, or all of that stuff. And here she's a game changer, Alora, isn't it? You can't do that. You're never going to be able to compare her realistically to what's normal because of what has happened to her in the process. And maybe that's happened for a reason. You know, so might be that you have to put some vigilance on turning that around, noticing that focus always goes to
what
she isn't doing yet that she should be.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I kind of, it's what Chris said somewhat similar recently, like, you know, I don't.
Probably did it a lot simpler in one sentence, right? Or something.
Well, no. Just because I was doing the same thing, and he said, you know, just think about what she can do. And I'm like, I know, no. I try that. I think what upsets me most is that the ego always goes back to what she can't, you know. And I feel I feel like I feel like a horrible person for that, like a horrible mother for it.
I'm going to say something really direct here, okay, for a reason. You have no basis, in fact, for making that conclusion. You have no basis at all for making that conclusion. Give me any evidence you can right now for the fact that you're a horrible parent. And I know this is going to make you cry more, but I really want to go into this because this is huge, isn't it?
Yeah.
What evidence can you give me other than thoughts?
Other than thoughts. Well, that's the only thing I can give you. Thoughts, ideas, beliefs.
And next question is, can you do anything to change those thoughts? What mine thinks about your parenting?
I guess my ego would like to think that it could, but I can't. You know, they're just...
Has anything that you've tried to do actually helped you stop believing your thoughts? No.
I guess not from an egoic point of view.
And here's a really daft question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Why are you still so interested in these thoughts? I know it's a daft question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. And it's not necessarily one you have to answer me, you know, like now, but why are you still so interested in these particular thoughts?
There's just that forgetting that they are. There's that I think it's that forgetting that's going, you know, the attention and the forgetting of what's real that's upsetting as well, you know, like, because as much attention, because
are these thoughts based on what's actually occurring or what mind thinks is occurring?
Yeah, mind thinks is okay.
And does mind have any clue what's actually going on in your parenting? Is it really the most reliably informed opinion? Or is it actually the least reliable?
Yeah. Too much emphasis on mind, but
well, place. We all have our places where we pay attention to it, but maybe this is just one of those areas where you're going to have to make a really big effort to listen more to what other people are telling you, to what Alora makes you feel anyway, rather than what mind says. And I haven't been through what you've been through with Alora, but I have been through this particular point where I had to make a monumental effort at one point to actually listen to what my children were actually saying, what people were saying about me as a parent, rather than what my mind was saying. And that took some constant vigilance to turn that habit. It's just a habit to reference mind first here, rather than actual reality, in which you are an amazing parent that's been through something, you know, huge. I mean, if we just stop and look at actual reality, you two are still married, probably love each other more than you ever have because you've been through this. Alora's here and she's progressing every day at her own pace and she's quite happy.
Yeah.
In that.
Yeah. Right?
There's only one or two officials and your mind that's saying it's not how it should be.
Yeah. It's that's helped really because I've got tunnel vision.
And you might just have to really, when I really wanted to get beyond this, I spent at least two or three times a day just journaling, writing statements on this subject. When I write in my journal now, I don't write in normal writing. I always write in statements. So I won't just go discuss something in my, you know, some epiphany or something in my journal. And I just started this in this particular area. I will always write in statements, statement process, meaning I'll start with whatever happened and then I'll go up in vibration from there. Train myself. Every time I write in my journal, it's in statements. I never write a normal paragraph anymore. Then I'm always moving upwards in that area. And I made it a habit at least two or three times a day, more if I could, to write something about this area. I was determined to get beyond this, knowing that the only thing that's happening here is there's still a lot of allegiance to thoughts in this area. And of course there would be. You want to make sure she's happy and healthy. But she's already happy and healthy and you're just tormenting yourself. So you can let go now, right?
Okay. No, that's really good. Thank you.
30 days journaling, writing it down so you can go back and read it when you need the boost, yeah?
Yeah.
Making sure that you're doing the statements that feel better, because then you're going upwards and you're finally going to let this go. Otherwise, you're doing statements in your head that are going down.
Right.
Everyone's normal thought process is the reverse of the statement process, isn't it?
Yeah, and I can see that this mind-body's been getting a lot better at doing, the shifting towards positive. It's just, like you said, this area.
And some places we just need that extra vigilance, that real concerted effort for 30 days or so, and then you're free of it forever. Because mind's never going to change its mind about you. Even if she grows up to be an Olympic gold medalist and wins the Nobel Peace Prize and goes out into space and colonizes Jupiter, mind will still say, you're a really bad parent, you just, you didn't do enough for a look,
Yeah, it would probably, yeah. No, that's brilliant. Thank you. That's really
lovely.
Can just see it. Thank you so much.
So brave, so brave.
Thank you.
Can't wait to hug you.
No, me too. Oh, it's lovely to see everybody today.
Okay, so I know we've got another four hands up, but let's just take a very quick 5-minute break. Mainly for everyone here in the room to compose themselves. There were a few tears there also. So we'll just, I'll come back in literally 5 minutes.